Annie and Tobiah on Solidarity Breakfast on 3CR, your community radio station. And we've got Don Sutherland on the line. G'day, Don. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Annie. And g'day to you and all your listeners. I hope things are really less windy than what they've been, but less gaelish, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's right. People were knocked off Frankston Pier with that wind. Implication of critical minerals agreement. That's what you want to talk about.
Yeah, well, I do want to talk about it, especially because we're approaching the 50th anniversary of the coup against the Whitlam Labor government in 1975, in which the United States State Department played a big role in reinforcing the processes and the rationale for the coup. Now, I don't want to go into any detail on that, but I think what we've seen in the last week or so, and which has been apparent for longer than that, is just how much Albanese Labor is on a very different pathway as a neo-Labor government to what the Whitlam government was in terms of its ability to manipulate, as it thinks it's doing, its relationship with the United States. So we should... I do want to talk about it for that reason, and also because of the connection to AUKUS. What we're seeing is this on display, is this tension between national sovereignty and Australia as a client state. And the tension very much is that there are really big, serious question marks about whether this new agreement on critical minerals is really going to advance our national sovereignty. And you can see that in, you know, the government's own statements. You know, even Richard Marles back in 2023, really, in essence, it had some very good phrases in it about national sovereignty, but it boiled down to a conception of everything about China is bad and everything about the USA is good. So it's a very fluid concept. If before we understand the agreement, there are two things, background reminders, we have to keep clear in our head as we look at the agreement. Firstly, both countries, Australia and the USA, are not getting any effective economic recovery. It's modest and fragile. It's staggering along. And that is a very big difference to how capitalism is supposed to operate. If it has a downturn, then it has an upturn. Well, that's not happening. It's a stagger. There's no really solid growth that comes out of it. Secondly, the climate change is continuing to get worse. Climate heating is continuing to get worse. And in that context, sitting in behind this agreement are the negotiations going on between the government and various parliamentary forces about a new Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act. And this has very serious implications for how quickly and how favourably approvals for transnational corporations to explore and develop mines can proceed. That's what it's all about, setting up a new regime for the most powerful corporations to intensify and speed up their appropriation of country. And that leads to the final preliminary point, is that in all of the commentary I've seen about this new deal, there has not been a single reference, and I've looked fairly widely, to the role and rights of Aboriginal people in making decisions about any rare earth development. Because rare earth development, by its definition, is poisonous. And it will do damage to the country. And there, once upon a time, we were under the impression that a Labor government thought that the rights of Aboriginal people on such decision-making were pretty important, but it does not figure at all, even in their own public commentary. So when that's the background to we look at the agreement. Now, the agreement itself is available online if you Google it, and it's worth reading. It doesn't take long, only about 5 or 6 minutes. And
you mean it's like a cut to the neck?
Yeah. There's the agreement and then the White House fact sheet that goes with it, if you can get such a thing as a fact out of the White House. Quite hilariously, the other day I made a comment and I accidentally said the Shite House, and I thought, well, okay, that's probably a typo I'll rock and roll with. fact sheet it tells you a little bit, and then it tells you a lot more, for example, about what the intentions of the Trump administration.
In relation to that little slip, I did one with the environment monster instead of the environment minister.
He may well turn out to be like that. The fundamental assumption in this agreement is that, keeping in mind that the mining industry corporations that are interested in critical minerals and the rare earths component of them have been active in Australia for some time, but the industry is in a downturn for various reasons, some of their own making and some a product of just how capitalism works. So it's an industry in the doldrum. It's a little over the place at the moment. And the second assumption is that there aren't enough profits that have been appropriated by those corporations for productive investment of their own initiative. That is not true. There are plenty of profits. The problem is that profitability early enough and substantial enough is not there. And so guess what they do in the face of all of their claims to be the opposite? They ask for a government handout. That's what's going on here.
Wow.
And both states, both the Australian and the US government, are loyally working out how to help the profit-taking private corporations who can't see the profitability to do it of their own initiative.
Unbelievable.
So that's what's going on there. As I said, these corporations, both domestic and foreign, have known about critical mineral resources in Australia for a long time. It's not new knowledge. And the real issue here is how China's more profound and serious grasp of how to develop new industry is so powerful, because it is profound, about doing it in a different way, as means they now have leapt far ahead and, in essence, control the industry globally, not just in mining, but in development from smelting through to commodity production. So Western capitalism, this is a classic example of Western capitalism trying to play catch-up and survive relative to whatever you might call the Chinese alternative.
So where does that place us? We're not the corporations, and we're not even the government. What about us in this picture?
There's two or three levels to that in that question. The first one, I think, is in stark relief in the ABC's report about the response of the little community of Waruna near Wagerup, south of Perth, that 120 km south of Perth, on Thursday. They reported the condemning views of local people about the implications of the gallium in that part of the investment in the existing, within the existing or associated with the existing declining Alcoa operations in that region. And they are well on top. There is a real tension between from parts of the community already. Those who are now conditioned to think it's a good thing, and then there are those who are seeing all sorts of problems, especially the environmental ones, and they don't just apply to people who are conscious of their environmentalism, but also to businesses, particularly the winemaking industry in the area. So that's how it pans out. The potential overriding of the proper protections for socially useful development. Now, so that's how it pans out for us. What about the broader community, the broader Australian majority? For the volume of investment required, this will not make much of a difference, if any at all, to employment prospects. Keeping in mind that right now, unemployment is rising. This agreement is not going to reverse that. There might be other things that can be done to reverse it, but not this. So this is an agreement for the big end of town in the mining sector. And that's why the Minerals Council of Australia now love a Labor government. They recognise that this Labor government is far more competent than the Liberals in advancing the interests of the mining corporations. And they say that at their website. They don't say the word competent, but they're in full praise of everything that Labor's doing, and that's because Labor is competent at getting them what they want.
Yep, that's right.
There are two projects. There's that Gallium project in Wagerup, and there's another one owned by a corporation called Arafura in the Northern Territory.
That's right, yep.
Now, my hunch is that there is going to be a big discussion amongst Aboriginal people about how that unfolds, and I'm not privileged to know anything about that. But the Australian government's already put up $840 million into it. And that company is part-owned by Gina Rinehart.
Yep. There you go.
So what they're talking about, to make that one work, is even more public investment. Now, there is some suggestion that there'll be some government ownership on both sides, reflective of the investment, but don't know very much about how that will work. At this stage, you can't find that in either the official statement or in the White House fact sheet or anything that Tim Ayres or...
So really what you're saying is that it smells of corporate welfare.
Well, I would go further and say it is corporate welfare.
Yeah, righto. Okay.
And, you know...
Really, there's really nothing in it for us, is there? Or the country?
It's tricky because a lot of these minerals will be important in socially useful technologies in the future. That is not the direction in which this is headed. Trump, for example, the whole of the Trump edifice, not just Trump, but the whole edifice...
The oligarchs.
They do not agree that climate change is a thing. So the purpose of this agreement, from their point of view, is to advance war making and to enable the big car companies in the USA to compete with the development of auto technologies in China.
So they're big brains, they're big thinkers.
Yes. They are big thinkers in ways that we are not, to our detriment. And it is corporate welfare and it's not socially useful. There might be some spin-off in Australia, but it would be a spin-off, it's not conditional, and it's... There's hardly any detail to be able to say anything, except there are serious questions about whether it's not its true intention to lead to useful technologies that help to slow down global climate heating and reverse it. That's not going to happen.
We need to finish up. I'll have to say that we really thank you for your analysis of this. Do you want? Have you got some final words you want to put to this subject?
Yes. This is a very big deal for those of us who are socialists to the left of the Labor Party and the Greens. Our continued irrelevance is founded on our fragmentation. We will not be able to deal with the strategic implications and the problems this deal is going to create for Australia's working class majority, 85% of the population thereabouts, unless we deliberately stop thinking that each one of us, whether it's an organisation or individual, are the only ones who know the only true way. We've got to stop thinking like that and find big steps forward and urgently for a common program around which we can develop a common struggle.
Well, all right. You've put us all on notice.
Mighty task that we'll all have to get to.
Yeah, and it's every single one of us, including me, I have to look at the way I go about things. So I'm off to a Tasmanian socialist gathering in Launceston this afternoon. It's something that I haven't done for a while. We all have to change. We have to all look at building and helping each other take steps towards an alliance, a coalition of some type, that can be, instead of at the margins, largely irrelevant in terms of momentum, with honourable efforts all over the place, but largely irrelevant, and really start to make a difference.
Thanks for talking to us this morning.
The rising tide thing, I reckon.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big opportunity for collective study of this issue and what to do about it in a better way.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Don.
All the best, everybody. See you soon.